here in New Mexico. And T.W. put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, March 1st, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Wild ride it is. And let me say right off the bat, surprise special guest today, Richie from Boston. Very excited about that. Couple of words first. That's going to be exciting. You're going to want to listen close. We've got some interesting stuff to talk about. Should be fun. But I just have a question. There's a lot we could talk about, but what does it say about a society that rewards drug manufacturers most on down the line of pushers, including doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, ad agencies, PR firms, etc., who push drugs, side effects of which may include death and or self or other directed harm, as they say, while simultaneously vilifying and criminalizing the end consumer? And all competition to the monopoly, of course. What does it say about a society that creates and continues to fund an ever-expanding agency rooted in intrigue and deception, i.e. lies, which in turn creates a drug epidemic by which it profits obscenely through the enslavement of the society that created it, post-parasite, while lying and murdering opposition and dissenting voices? What does it say about a society that has become so broken, so psychologically crippled, and so numb to its barbarism and brutality that and the ever-increasing violence and devastation it glorifies and brazenly inflicts on and around the world, that it has to pass endless laws against bullying and shooting its own school children? Whatever your historical view, whatever your position on whatever narrative to which you subscribe, this is clearly a tragically virulent society in danger of being suicided. And it's just some food for thought. You know, we can debate certain points and certain nuances, but when you step back and you take a look at where we're at in America and what's going on, it's high time that we stop and take a very introspective pause, if you know what I mean. This is sort of a contrast. I found this early this morning. the Vice article that was published today, The Lonely Life of a Professional YouTuber, about Will Lenny, or Will N.E. And from the article, 2 months ago, Ofcom released their Children and Parents Media Use and Attitude Reports for 2017, and it contained striking revelations. Among 12 to 15-year-olds, YouTube was the most recognized content brand, ahead of ITV, Netflix, and the BBC. And this is a Great Britain-focused article for, you know, those that might be confused. But it says 90% of them use it, and the majority prefer it to watching a TV set. Over in Davos, Switzerland, at January's World Economic Forum, a report titled Drawing the Future was presented by the Education and Employers Task Force to senior business leaders from around the world. In a survey of over 13,000 British primary school children, one of the largest of its kind, kids were asked to draw a picture of the job they want when they grow up. The fourth most popular job across all children was social media / gaming. For boys, it was now second, ahead of policeman, scientist, doctor, teacher, firefighter, and any form of military employment. Being a YouTuber, the report explained, has all but replaced the classic childhood fantasies of becoming a famous film or TV star. More people than ever are tuning in and desiring the life of a YouTuber. But what is the life of a YouTuber? I thought that was kind of an interesting. So you contrast that, perhaps, you know, maybe I should write an article about Richie's experience, and maybe I'd title it The Orwellian Unpersoning of a Professional YouTuber, or not. Anyway, Richie, something tells me your life is markedly different than that of Will Lenny's, a.k.a. Will N.E. Good morning, thanks for coming on the broadcast, by the way.
No problem. Thanks for having me on again, Chris. It seems like we're living in the Groundhog Day type setup, because once again, they took my channel down, and it was the exact same thing. 5 o'clock in the morning, I got a copyright, I got a guideline strike. So I didn't break any rules. Someone just claimed I was bullying somebody. 12 hours later, another one. I made a video and told everybody, by the time the morning shows up, my channel will be gone. And it was. As far as the professional YouTuber, I missed that boat, because my channel was ad-free, so forth and so on, for 6-7 years. And then finally, October 2016, I decided I put so much time and energy into this, I might as well at least monetize. What's the big deal? It couldn't hurt anything. Well, as soon as I did that, the fake news meme popped its head up. So the gravy train was over, especially for someone that covers things like you and I do. That's pretty much all I can say on that.
Well, you know, and there, I guess there might be a ray of light, I guess. I mean, we were talking about it before the break, and I really mean it. I mean, I mentioned the Vice article as a sort of cheeky reference, because obviously when you're putting out quality information like you do that is counter to the establishment narrative, well, we can't have that. I mean, that's considered hate speech. And as we talked about, you know, the fact that the Southern Poverty Law Center is part of the army of censorship that YouTube has employed is public information, and it's pretty astonishing. I you know, Tucker, as I mentioned, did a pretty good piece on that last night. I think maybe we could even play like a minute of that, but I thought it was interesting that he just basically said the SPLC is a hate group, which I don't think is very far off, if it's off at all. I mean, that might be a little sensational, but not much. And they have a reputation for besmirching people and groups, sort of, I would say, recklessly or cavalierly. And, you know, if you or I did that, oh my goodness, we'd be shouted down. But, you know, you have this group, it's like this big echo chamber of people and groups, and if you're part of You know, like George Carlin put it, if you're part of the club, then you can pretty much say what you want and do what you want, because even though they might seem to disagree on little nuances, obviously we know, and it's been admitted in books like The Club of Rome's The First Global Revolution, that they disagree very little on the big points. So they, you know, they can say whatever they want. SPLC can say whatever it wants. It can call Ben Carson, you know, a hate monger, and then when people go, whoa, hold on a second, I think you're, you know, that's out of line, then they issue an apology and move on, really like it was nothing. But they keep doing that. Meanwhile, you have to watch everything you say and, you know, put out, because, I mean, it's completely backwards is what I'm saying. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If we lived in a society where we really valued the truth and justice and things the way that we pretend that we do, your channel would be, you know, you would be the CNN of YouTube.
that's a pretty bold statement, but I get the analogy. It's amazing to me that the Southern Poverty Law Center, along with the I can't think of the name of it right now, the Anti-Defamation League.
Right.
These guys are working closely with YouTube and Google. The thing is when they start, I mean, this even garnered its own hashtag, which is the first time I've seen that, which was called the YouTube Purge hashtag. And apparently it got, they tried. This was their first shot of really trying to quiet as many channels as they possibly could. And I think they figured out it wasn't time yet. Their predictive programming, they don't have as many people, you know, standing in the brick in the wall line as they thought, because too many people stood up and started making a lot of noise.
Yeah,
it appears for now that they have acquiesced a little bit. I'm sure a lot of other channels are going to come back up probably today, if not tomorrow. That's what it looks like.
Hopefully. I've mentioned, I think, about a dozen channels that were taken down, including yours, and you know, some other important channels, Urban Moving, Charles Walton, and a number of others that went down. But you have some good news. Can we speak to that?
Well, yeah, I did the last time you had to basically fight fire with fire. Everyone kept saying, you know, YouTube is over, let's walk away. And I kept saying to my subscribers and to anyone that would listen, basically, they want us to leave YouTube for a reason. YouTube is the most popular medium there is. If you truly, honestly want to reach people, YouTube's where it's at. I'm not going to walk away, and I didn't. So I put the word out, and I got an attorney that specializes in this type of stuff. As soon as he sent a letterhead, magically my channel came back last time, but it was very, very slow. I still had all the strikes, even though they cleared me of it, so forth and so on. This time around, the channel came back up like nothing ever happened, which is really strange. And according to what I was told, YouTube received 57,000 plus complaints on my behalf. And it seems that it worked, because they didn't even send me an email saying, oh, by the way, your channel's back up like they're supposed to. It just popped back up.
Which sort of reminds me of the SPLC nonsense. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center smears Ben Carson's name and reputation, and then, you know, people say, whoa, hold on a second. Lawyers get involved, and the SPLC is like, yeah, sorry. Moving on, quietly issuing an apology and moving on. And so in this case, it seems YouTube's bringing your channel back up is sort of the same kind of thing, just quietly. You know, but again, I hope these kinds of things have the Streisand effect. I wish they could, and I've been, you know, thinking about it for years, and I've mentioned it recently on this broadcast that I'm thinking about building a platform that's sort of a YouTube scraper, basically, where we can identify some handpicked channels, if you will, that we want to keep an eye on that would scrape the basic content of the video and sort of, you know, back that up on another site, you know, title, description, tags, and all that kind of stuff at a minimum. And just keep an eye on that stuff. Keep pinging them. And when a video goes down or a channel goes down, you have all of that metadata, if you will. I mean, it's more than that, but you have all that information backed up, and you can sort of get an idea of who and what is being targeted. You could almost have a homepage that features channels that have been disappeared, or videos or topics that seem to be targeted, like that, you know, the 3,500 videos or so that seem to go away, that vanished instantly, of David Hogg getting his lines wrong, is kind of what the general title was on those videos, about a minute long. Stuff like that.
That's a great idea, and I know dozens. I personally know dozens of channels that are pretty substantial that would want to be involved in something like that, because we have to. It isn't just the fact that they're taking down a channel. Oh, well, his channel's gone. It is what it is. We're looking at the Southern Poverty Law Center working as, I don't know, the Stasi in Germany. They're silencing any dissent, no matter what. And if you allow them to do it, they have no issue with it. But if you stand up to them, like you said, they quietly just turn and focus their attention on some other family-oriented group or some other Christian group.
Yeah.
You can't deny it at this point that they're absolutely targeting a specific genre. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, specific demographic, specific content. And the problem, though, is when it goes away, I mean, we all know, but then how do you tell America when it has vanished? And it does. And like we were talking about before the broadcast, it is diabolical and insidious to do that, because it really is the Orwellian unpersoning of people and content. It's the erasing of history. You know, it's not that the video was turned off and you can't watch it or whatever, but it's preserved. It's there in the description and stuff. It just disappears, and it disappears from search, multiple search engines, all of them. You know, history gets erased, and that's
you just nailed it right on the head. Anytime that you type RFB, just type in Richie, it auto finishes. When these guys take you down, there's no defense, there's no debate, there's no nothing. Oh, you know, a video you put up 2 years ago is bullying, and they remove it, so that you can't even refer to what it was that may or may not have bothered somebody or hurt someone's sensibilities. They just completely erase it.
Yeah.
It's like we're living in a movie again.
Exactly. And so the idea would be, and I keep thinking, especially after what happened in Parkland, what did or didn't happen, whatever happened, that, you know, this kind of thing should already be out there, where you could see, you know, you could go, I think it would garner a lot of attention. And then you would have proof so that you could say to folks, well, just go here and look. You can see these channels were taken down. This content seems to have been targeted specifically. I mean, look, you have, you know, 85% of the videos in the last 24 hours that from these channels that came down or that disappeared had this, you know, name or this subject matter in it, and then it would be fairly, I think, obvious. Then I think maybe it would have the Streisand effect, whereas now when it disappears, I mean, you sound like a crazy person. They're deleting channels. Well, where are they? Well, yeah, that's the problem. I can't show you, you know. Anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back with my special guest Richie from Boston right after this short break.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Policing the content posted to YouTube, and they're using a thoroughly discredited left-wing group to do that. Google has creating a group of trusted flaggers who will help the company monitor alleged extremist content on the website. One of those trusted flaggers is not trusted at all. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's not an expert on the South or poverty or the law. John Stossel recently explained the truth about this group in an amazing report. Here's part of it.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, based in that building in Alabama, calls itself the premier group monitoring hate groups. Looking at their map of such groups, you'd think America was consumed by hate. I once believed in the center's mission. Well-meaning people still do. Apple just gave them $1 million. But what donors don't know is that today the center smears people who don't deserve to be smeared. The Southern Poverty Law Center now lists people like Ben Carson, Laura Ingraham, and Jeannie Pirro as extremists. But it doesn't list Antifa, the hate group that beats up people on the right. The center's become a hate group itself. It's now a left-wing, money-grabbing slander machine.
It's a hate group. It is a hate group, too. Let's just be honest about that. Eric Schiffer is a tech entrepreneur.
That's pretty fantastic. You know, I think Laura Ingraham and Jeannie Pirro have, they could be argued extremist at times, for sure. But, you know, Ben Carson, any black man who tells black people, a black audience, hey, Margaret Sanger was not your friend, I think is more of a unifying voice to me than anything. I'm not necessarily a fan of Ben Carson, but I don't necessarily think I would put him together in the group with Ingraham and Pirro. Anyway, that was that clip, and I think that I think it was a good clip.
Oh, definitely. Definitely a good clip, and it seems like they overstepped their bounds a little bit too quickly because we're already seeing them pull back. You know what I
mean?
I don't know where the meme that the Southern Poverty was behind all of this, but it exploded out of nowhere. We were talking about that before we went live.
Yeah.
You want to finish that thought? Because you were definitely on it.
Well, the question that I have, I think, is how come, I mean, we played the Tucker clip and John Stossel, and I really like John Stossel, especially in recent years, but how come when Tucker Carlson says it and then John Stossel says it, it's, you know, it means something. But when you say it and I say it, well, it's, you know, I mean, Richie, I think I have 37 subscribers on YouTube. I guess I should make more than one video every 10 years. That might help. But Richie only has 190,000 subscribers and millions of views, whereas, you know, Fox News is seen by millions of people every night. So I mean, it's interesting how there is the mental connotation of credibility somehow because a certain group, or in this case, the SPLC specifically. Why does it have any credibility when it probably shouldn't?
I don't even know how to answer that, but you're absolutely right. If you go back and look at the facts behind these guys, American Family Association, I mean, they make everything a terrorist group except for the actual, you know, quote unquote terrorist groups, the people that are out there causing riots and attacking people and so forth and so on. That's all good. No problem. And then you see huge corporations like Apple still giving them the money to operate. It makes no sense to me, but that's where we're living right now.
Exactly. It's astonishing for anyone who really could take an honest, unvarnished look at the history and its behavior, not listening to their words, but watching their feet. It's hard to come away, I think, with any other perspective than it's a sort of Alinskyite anarcho-terrorist organization that is really at the heart of destabilizing American society and kind of uprooting and abridging culture. You know, you get shouted at if you have a view. Absolutely. Or if you believe that we shouldn't get too excited and start dismantling the Constitution and, hey, let's have a conversation. Hold on. Oh, that's hate speech. It's ridiculous. And at the same time, you know, Tucker also had Chris Kobach on last night, which was astonishing. But the discussion about the ACLU suing over law making it harder for illegals to vote. And, you know, that calls to mind the situation up in Chicago. And Tony in Illinois called in yesterday. I meant to ask him about that. But the ACLU suing over a law making it hard for illegals to vote, it's astonishing. Anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slows.
Welcome back.
Beyond the sun.
Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, March 1st, 2018. And I'm joined by my special guest, Richie from Boston. And very excited to have him on again. And so we're kind of saying before the break, I think it's astonishing that it kind of speaks to society. I mean, I really mean it when I say if we valued truth the way that we say we do, Richie, your channel would be one of the CNNs of YouTube and probably the internet, and people would, it would be the most trusted source in news because of your, I don't know, I would say heart. I mean, your desire to get to the bottom of things and not push some kind of narrative or propaganda. And so it's interesting that, you know, because you only have 190,000 subscribers, which is a lot of subscribers. I mean, obviously you have some kind of message for somebody, that the minds of people have been conditioned to downplay that. It doesn't carry the kind of weight that it should. Meanwhile, we play a clip from Tucker, you know, citing John Stossel, and everybody goes, oh yeah, well, you know, of course it's on the television, so it must be true. Which is astonishing. And I think it's tragic.
Just to speak to the point you just made about, you know, the subscriber levels and so forth and so on. they, YouTube and Google, whomever, they love to mess with your views. Like, for the last 2 weeks before my channel got terminated and then came back up this morning, I was getting, you know, 200 thumbs up, and I only had 4 views. And that was going on for quite a while. And as far as people taking you seriously because you have 250,000 subscribers, you go to the UFO channels or the video channels where people are just playing PlayStation, and they have millions of subscribers. And
yeah,
the kids that are playing the video games are literally driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris because YouTube allows it. I think that's how they make it less credible, because, yeah, this guy might be saying something that makes sense. You know, he's telling us about certain things, and he's got a couple of 100,000 subscribers, but so doesn't this kid over here, and he's got 10 million, and all he's doing is playing games. I think that's how it plays in, if that made any sense at all.
Yeah, which is part of the reason that I mentioned the Vice article, The Lonely Life of a Professional YouTuber. I mean, it's absurd to think that. You know, I wonder how much of the data is rigged. You know, you mentioned when your primary channel came back up this morning that it came back up with 5 million fewer views, which,
right.
You know, I mean, what does that mean? And speaking of what you're talking about, you know, we've kind of been having an internal conversation about alternatives to Skype. And I noticed this article yesterday on Polygon, Discord is purging alt-right, white nationalists, and hateful servers. Well, you know, based on our conversation about Google partnering with the SPLC and what SPLC considers hate groups, itself being a hate group, essentially, one wonders what exactly constitutes a hate group to Discord. So, you know, Adam Waffen Division is mentioned, and that's an interesting discussion all by itself, I think. You know, Adam Waffen Division with, I guess I would say, affiliates in Florida and San Antonio, where we've seen incidents recently, which is interesting. But, you know, I won't get off on that tangent. Anyway, you can see the censorship all around under specious auspices. What I mean is, and hopefully I'll say this in a comprehensible fashion, but what I meant earlier in the first segment of this echo chamber of the club basically is they create these groups. The same interests create the SPLCs, the ACLUs, the JDLs, the ADLs, all of these kinds of groups. They, in COINTELPRO fashion, they're infiltrating or creating these white nationalist groups. That's a you know, fact of history that's so old it's cliche. You know, we don't have quite enough resources to really get our white nationalist, white supremacist group off the ground. Enter the FBI. We can help. We have resources. Oh, cool. Now we have a group. Now we have a club. So they create these groups for specific political ends and then use these groups to create theater, basically, to then bully the average American people who aren't affiliated with these groups, don't associate themselves or espouse the same views, and yet we all kind of get pushed along the same dialectical continuum. Does that make sense? Am I saying anything?
You're on it. That does make sense. It sounds a little bit complicated, but it is. We're living in, I mean, the World Wide Web was such an apropos name because it's all ensnaring. It's all
entangled, exactly.
And it's so hard to find your way out.
Yep. I think, you know, kind of getting back to what you said, I think it was an important point. And I think it's great that you're holding the line. You know, you think of Edmund Burke's, you know, quote, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And you start to see, you know, like I said, the point of what I said, you know, you have these mediums, television, the interwebs, the worldwide snare, and all of this production, this theater to put on the theater to lead people to believe a certain thing. Well, I think the operative quote, again, I mentioned recently the book, The Hidden Persuaders. My copy is 1960. Chapter 19, The Engineered Yes, quoting Edward Bernays, it reads that Bernays pointed out newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned and deliberately, they're planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. And so this theater happens and people hear these sound bites, these talking points, and like they hear what happened in Parkland, whatever happened, they hear about an incident. And then all of a sudden the David Hoggs of, allegedly of Parkland, Florida, go around the country saying it's disgusting that legislators haven't passed a law. What kind of law? You know, it defies logic what he's saying, because if you think about it, we've heard at least 45 signs were missed and there was a catastrophic failure from top to bottom of at every agency level, so to speak, which should tell you all you need to know about agencies. But even if you did, you know, even if they did pass a law, I mean, it's been 2 weeks for Pete's sake. You want a law to be rammed through at some level, whether it's federal or state. It's absurd, but it defies logic, because even if there had been legislation passed the day after February 15th, that wouldn't do anything for the damage that's already been done. In other words, we've heard that, you know, Nicholas Cruz fell through the cracks and there are at least 45 major signals that were missed. And so how would a piece of legislation fix that, or the guns that are already out in the community? So my question is, and this to me, as you know, I mentioned before the broadcast, is a telling sign that no one seems to be talking about the fact that if there were that many signals missed, what, you know, how many Nicholas Cruises potentially, you know, again, if we just accept the establishment narrative, how many of them are still floating around out there? Well, and no one's asking.
Think about it this way. According to their rationale, according to what all the talking heads are saying and all the up-in-arms lawmakers, they want to take away guns. It's like this, in my mind, to make it a simple analogy. They're telling us that an enormous snowstorm is coming, and in order to protect us all so we don't slip and break an ankle, they want to take away everybody's shovels.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's a great analogy. Thanks.
I mean, it really is.
In a real society where they didn't have an enormous agenda that they were pushing by any means necessary, if we were truly surrounded by armed gunmen that all somehow got their hands on an AR-15, while under surveillance by the FBI and other agencies, and they still managed to achieve their goals, if we were truly surrounded by people, bloodthirsty school children wanting to shoot criminals, why would they want to disarm the citizens? You'd actually want to do the exact opposite so everyone can protect themselves, because clearly people that are drilling day and night, nonstop, for these exact events are missing the target every single solitary time. And in most cases, they're missing the target by a couple of hours, because whenever there's an event, hours before, there was a drill for the exact same event.
There was a drill, and there's always a stand down from the folks that were
every time
supposedly drilling. You know, why was EMT told it couldn't get in? The medics couldn't get into the scene. Why was there a massive stand down? You know, this story, agents ordered not to rush into Parkland shooting scene. Why was Scott Peterson and apparently three other BSO deputies on the scene, but not, you know, in the scene? Why did Coral Springs show up and run in and go, hey guys, let's go, and BSO still stood outside? You know, and getting into the specifics, the nuances, like EMT saying they wouldn't let us run in. They told us to stand down, but then agents, there's this controversy where agents ordered that showed up on the scene after the fact, were they ordered to stand down? Like, basically, I think we should play that clip too, because Matt Finn reported for Fox News and he said the commander that day, the big tell in that soundbite is the commander that day may have known something the rest of the crews did not. I was like, indeed, maybe he did. What did he know that, you know, no one else knew? No, it's okay. We don't have to go in. In other words, they, you know, the public is being told, hey, there was an active shooter on the scene still, or at least to everyone's knowledge. So why did the commander on the scene tell everyone basically, nah, it's okay. It's all good. It's all done. What did he know? So you come away with all these questions. But again, the point of all of that was to say there's this theater and everyone loses their minds. Larkin, Texas has been good about bringing us back to the Vladislav Surkov style theater, where it's just chaos, the avant-garde sort of theater, which is interesting because when you look at David Hogg's film noir video the day of, as mainstream news reported, you know, David Hogg is videoing while shots are allegedly still going off in another building, and you see his classmates behind him out in the classroom while he's in a closet with a phone next to his face with the camera light on and his phone filming himself in film noir fashion, allegedly while there's a school shooter, an active shooter at the school. Who would have the presence of mind to do that and then say, and I call on lawmakers to put an end to this? I mean,
Chris, that's exactly, I think.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That's the only seriously topic I covered in a video was, why is this kid hiding in a closet while this event is still going on? He's whispering and he's holding his phone closely, but there's a camera light on him and you can hear the other kids talking as though nothing was going on at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always, we're running into this every single solitary time. There's way too many questions, and the end game, they don't answer any of our questions. The only thing they say is, we need to take your guns away so you'll be safe from people that are coming to kill you.
Right. Take your shovel. I like that analogy.
It's a storm's coming. We're gonna need to take your shovels.
Yeah. So you don't get injured. Protect you from yourself. No, that's thanks. Right. And speaking of protecting us from ourselves, where is that document? The Secret Service. I keep mentioning the fact that the Secret Service has, in collaboration with the is this it? The Secret Service, in conjunction with the Department of Education, has done a number of studies. And, oh, darn it, that's not what I wanted. I just closed my browser window. Anyway, Secret Service has done a number of studies with the Department of Education, and they stated in a May 2008 study that they published that, where is that quote? I'll find it. Oh, I know where it is. So, yeah, the report was titled Prior Knowledge of Potential School-Based Violence. Information students may learn, may prevent a targeted attack. That was the title of the joint report published in May 2008 by the Secret Service and Department of Education. They had, from page 3 of the document, number 7 of their 10 key findings. Number 7 is, despite prompt law enforcement responses, most shooting incidents were stopped by means other than law enforcement interventions, which common sense tells anyone, you know, when help is needed, you know, when seconds count, law enforcement is just minutes away, you know, so it's common sense. And now we're, you know, I don't want to get too carried away, but I mean, now we're hearing, of course, you know, we got to do it the Israeli way. That's what the Aaron Cohens of the world are telling us. Well, Israel stopped this problem back in the 70s. They don't have school shootings, so we should just do what Israel does. No, we shouldn't. This is not Israel. That's actually not Israel either, but that's a different discussion. This isn't Israel.
Absolutely.
This isn't Great Britain, or I'm tired of hearing that too. I'm sure you probably are as well. I'm tired of the setup.
Without a doubt. We didn't plant our flag in the middle of the Middle East, surrounded by our enemies, our stated biblical enemies. We didn't do that. So, and back in the 70s, we didn't have school shootings. We didn't have these. This is a new phenomenon when they realize that they need to take the weapons. We're one of the last countries on the planet that still have armed.
Exactly.
Citizens. And in my opinion, in looking at all the patents and technology that they're coming out with, guns really aren't going to be a major issue, because with the new technology that they have, they can disable somebody, let alone disarm them. They can disable them where they don't have the mental facilities to actually use the weapons that they have. And they've already shown us they can do that.
Which gets to, you know, arguably, I mean, you've done some great videos on that recently, basically saying, people, it's not about guns primarily. And, you know, the assault on both the First and Second Amendment, you could say, in this case, I think, in my opinion, speaks to that. Anyway, you know, the mental health issue, who decides? We'll talk more when we come back. Stick around, folks.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through Republic Broadcasting.
Happier days. I'm Miss Mayberry. Welcome back. Final segment of today's first hour of today's broadcast is Thursday, March 1st, 2018, with my special guest, Richie from Boston. I want to talk more about the First and Second Amendment, the assault on them, but we'll hold that discussion for the second hour coming up here in a second. But like we were talking about in the break, these people, first responders, et cetera, you know, we're told that they, again, this gets back to the point I was trying to emphasize, the fact that it's so difficult to talk to people who have, in effect, lost their minds, quite literally, because the medium is the message in Marshall McLuhan fashion, they lose all critical thought. When you hear that first responders drill, you know, we have all these drills and these folks have a protocol, and the EMS and the hospital folks have protocol, yet every time there's one of these incidents, for some reason, somehow everyone breaks from protocol. And you were talking in the break, Richie, about how in these events, you know, I mean, Parkland, Las Vegas, anytime there's one of these events and somebody gets shot in the head, their hair is always preserved by the ER because, you know, they got to be on CNN tomorrow. So, which is a complete breach of protocol.
Well, like I was saying, the day before my channel got taken down, I did a live stream and I was talking about other channels that were all of a sudden getting strikes. And I was putting their alternate channels out. One of my subscribers put a link in the chat and said, "Hey, Richie, your channel was on Bloomberg this morning." And I found myself in the news an awful lot in the last 6-8 months. And one of them was they claimed I was bullying somebody, which I never even acknowledged this person or knew their name until I saw this, because it was a total fabrication. Somebody I know works at a huge hospital in Massachusetts. And I said, "Let me ask you something. Somebody comes in with a head injury of any kind, or especially during a shooting event, what's the first thing they do?" She said they shave their head so they can see what they're doing. And that makes sense.
Obviously.
This guy that I think it was CNN or I don't remember what news organization it was. I made a video about it, of course. But they said that I was trolling this guy and attacking him, saying that he didn't get shot in the head. He's sitting on a hospital gurney he literally looked identical to Fabio. He had long flowing hair and claimed he got shot with an assault rifle the day before in the head, but the hospital never even bothered to shave his head. It's like I'd have to say they're putting this stuff out there so we will grab onto it, because even in a movie, these people, their attention to detail is amazing. And yet in these crisis events that occur, there's always dozens and dozens of quote-unquote Easter eggs. You know, like just for instance,
Sheriff said
Israel, Stoneman College, Mason police officers. It just doesn't seem to end. They love it.
And more each time. Funny
every
how that works.
Time. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, it's to me, it kind of smacks of H.G. Wells' open conspiracy kind of thing. It is the open conspiracy.
And the thing is it works beautifully.
Yeah.
It works beautifully, and I can only imagine when 5G is up and running even better that these people are going to be in a deep state of hypnosis, even worse than they are now.
Yep. Talk about a frog in a pot.
Indeed.
Microwave. Second hour coming up, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.